Good morning. Today is Thursday, December the 9th. Joining us this morning is Humboldt County District Attorney Maggie Fleming. Good morning.
Good morning, Brian. How are you doing?
I'm seeing sunshine in all the way around, so how can one complain?
I know. And, Brian, I wanted to say thank you so much for the stolen. Everybody here really, really enjoyed that.
Good, good, good. So I'm good for about 2 pounds on everybody there, huh?
That's right. It reminded me, my mother-in-law always made stolen for the holidays, and it was wonderful.
Did she do the
trip down memory lane?
Did she do the real deal, or did she do the fruitcake option?
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
okay.
Her father's family came from Germany, so she did the real, real deal.
Right, the powdered sugar all over it and that kind of stuff.
Right.
Yeah, no, I start to sneeze if there's too much confection or sugar around. Not wise. I'd rather go with a frosting. Oh, are you ready for your question this morning?
Yes, I am.
All right. Why do birds sing? Not jailbirds.
I'm going to say to attract mates.
All right. Well, that's a partial on this one. Male birds do most of the singing, and they do it to stake out their territory and to invite the female of the species to mate. It's interesting that females tend to select as mates those male birds that sing the most. The females
Wow.
do this, it's believed, not because they like the singing, but because they've learned that the males that sing the most have the most food in their territory. Since the male doesn't have to spend much time hunting for food, it has more time to sing. Thus, the females tend to choose their mates not because of how well they sing, but by how rich they are.
Wow, that's amazing.
Kind of blows that stereotype out, huh? Oh, boy. Yeah, interesting stuff. So how's the crime and crime business?
You know, the crime and crime business is booming. It's kind of sad to say we were, you know, watching how it's going in other counties with regard to those recent thefts. And, you know, it's just such an enormous problem right now. And I know that everybody understands we've just had so many changes in the law. There's just less and less consequences. And for those people who are part of the criminal system, they know. They know exactly the line to walk and what to do to get away with it. And it's got to change. We keep talking about what can we do to sort of bring back some of the consequences we used to have for property crimes and specifically theft, because it's just too much. And it's crushing businesses. That's the reality.
Did you go to the CSAC? Is there a district attorney's component on that, or is that for appointed department heads rather than electeds?
Right. I don't go to CSAC. We have our own state conference, so the California District Attorneys Association. Then we also have the National District Attorneys Association. So they both have conferences and obviously a lot of information and updated materials that they provide to membership. So I see it from them.
Right. I was wondering the similarities that are other smaller rural counties like ours, population or density-wise, if everybody is seeing similar trends, or if it's something that's more regionalized because of our proximity to the Bay Area, or because we have the interstate going through, how do we stack up versus those that are comparable?
We are seeing the same increase in certain crimes that we're seeing statewide and also nationwide. I think we don't see quite as many of sort of those high profile because we don't have the Louis Vuitton, Chanel, Nordstrom stores. So those make the news, but we know our stores here are being very, very hard hit. And it's because people recognize the consequences are, you know, really low. And so it's something we're trying to change as far as there's got to be an immediate trip to the jail. There's got to be those sorts of consequences because that will slow, if nothing else, it'll slow people down. But hopefully it will actually curb their attitude.
So how does, I'm always curious, how does Siskiyou County, how are they able to compete? You know, they're between two larger areas. They're on I-5. They don't have a lot there, but I'm sure they get a lot of the same challenges.
It's It really is a function of what's prevalent in your community that you see. So, you know, for example, historically, we've always seen more home invasion robberies associated with marijuana and perhaps people having large quantities of cash.
Okay, and we'll take it from there when we come back. It's 8:19.
Hi there, and good evening, and welcome to the Jim Bohannon Show from Westwood One Radio. We're at 1-866-50-JIMBO, 1-866-505-4626. Weekdays at 7 p.m., it's the Jim Bohannon Show. I'm Jim Bohannon. Join me here on KINS.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:24. We're back talking shop this morning with Maggie Fleming, and I'm not going to have to cut you off now. Got a little bit more time to talk. So before the break, you were talking a little bit about some of the activities that we have seen, and particularly with this, it's almost like a drive-through. Drive up, yeah. Take what you want, pull away. Now, when Brian Stevens was in Monday, he said that there are a lot of the consumers in some of the larger stores, if they see something going on, that they have intervened.
Right, right.
Which I think it's kind of cool. He saw it as problematic because, you know, that's not only because that's what their job is with the badges, but that there could be a repercussion from those individuals.
Well, that's so true. That's always the concern, you know, and when we go out, you know, I go out with law enforcement to town hall meetings and we discuss how to address these crimes and stuff. We are very, very careful to always remind people to be safe first and foremost. That's, you know, not their job. And you don't know whether or not the person might have a weapon or might attack you or wait for you in the parking lot. So that's always the concern. I am so appreciative of, though, that, you know, capacity that people have to say, I have to do something. I want to stop this. And we see it over and over. People who, you know, will detain someone because they realize they're fleeing from having just hurt someone or fleeing from a hit and run. You know, the number of people who will call in and say, we're standing by because a drunk driver just crashed into a car and he's trying to leave. Can the police please come? You know, things like that. It really is amazing. The sort of community we have. When I first moved here, I remember, and I might have shared this story with you before, Brian. It was an elderly woman who came home. It was Southern Humboldt, came home, and she'd been at church on a Sunday. And she came in, and there was a burglar in her house. And she realized right away, and he was upstairs, and he shouted, you better get out or I'll shoot you. And her response was, I'm calling the police. They're going to shoot you. And so then she walked out of her house and she started shouting and a bunch of her neighbors came over and detained him. And I remember I told my story to my dad and he was like, wow, that's like really good community that, you know, people would immediately step up and say, yeah, we're not going to let this happen to this, you know, senior citizen. And I just always thought that's such a good example of people who care about each other, taking care of each other, you know, even in that sort of situation that could potentially be dangerous.
Hopefully he got sentenced.
He did.
Okay.
Residential burglary is still a serious crime, and things still happen to those people.
When somebody makes a claim like they do have a gun or they've got, you know, something that would normally qualify for additional time or bump it up from a misdemeanor to a felony, does it matter that they actually do have it or just that they threaten somebody that they say that they have it?
It matters if they do have it, and that's always, you know, been a special enhancement. It still can result in even low-level felonies. It can result in those felonies being elevated to a prison commitment because of the use of a gun. So the possession of the gun, the use of the gun, the pointing of the gun, all of those are enhancements. And in fact, you know, we've seen robbers who 20 years ago used a gun, you know, then switched to, I mean, the same individual then switched to threatening they had a gun, but not actually having a gun because they recognized how much more significant that made the crime. So it did, I mean, that's one of the enhancements, I think, did sort of have a deterrent, you know, because there was those campaigns, those PSAs, I think you probably remember them, you know, use a gun, go to jail.
Right.
And it
right.
really did sort of, you know, for the people who were paying attention, it did give them pause and they stopped always carrying a gun with them to do their crimes.
So these folks that are going in, not necessarily locally, but throughout the state that have gotten the exposure, going in and taking stuff, are they armed at all, or they just have bravado and go in and walk out and then, I guess, getting away with it?
What we, and again, you know, I don't want to make a broad statement so that public feels safe to engage with these people, but typically what we see with the thieves that are going into the store, pocketing things, or now so bold, you know, throwing things in a shopping cart and walking out, they're generally not armed. It's always been a theft. So, and that's sort of a distinction. Theft is when you just take property that doesn't belong to you. Robbery is when you take property by force or fear. That's what the distinction is. So robbery is a, you know, obviously a very serious crime. It's a felony. It's something that you can go to prison for. Theft is more generally that crime that we're having a hard time combating because it has been, you know, over the years, the regulations regarding it have been so severely reduced. So now, now it has to be $950 to make a theft become a felony theft. Otherwise, it's considered petty theft, which, when you think about it, up to $950 is definitely not petty.
No, but, do that two or three times a day.
Exactly.
Pretty soon,
and
yeah.
That's what we see. We see the same individuals. I think I shared last time, but I'm not sure. We looked at our data, you know, just because of the increase. And what we've seen historically is there are many, many fewer defendants who are committing thefts than we have reported thefts. So we know that there's a chunk of them who are doing most of the crime. And that's what the merchants all know. You
right,
know, they will say, this guy's been in here before, and I think he's been in two other stores nearby, because when I described him, you know, those other merchants said, yeah, I know that guy too. So
it's 8:30. This is the Lars Larson Show.
And these kids who come, they become Americans before a lot of Americans become Americans.
Now, here's your host, Lars Larson.
Hey there, it's Lars Larson. Join me for the Lars Larson Show, weeknights 10 to midnight. Honestly provocative talk radio on KINS.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:35. We're back talking shop this morning with Maggie Fleming. Maggie, in some of these situations where these criminal activities are going on, that random, I don't know if it's the right word, how about targeted might be a better one, where they're selecting certain businesses and going in. San Francisco seems to be the prototype for so many of the problems that California has right now with the homelessness, okay, and some of those elements, and this mob invasion, I guess, would be a term. What has been the legal response in San Francisco? Are they getting more aggressive about this to try to stamp it out? Because, I can't imagine that they want to continue to lose retail businesses. They have lost conventioning and tourism and some of the other things based on some of the cultural decisions that have been made over the last few years.
Well, it's interesting because, first of all, when you watch those, you know, the videos of those large scale, you know, numbers of people going in and simultaneously cleaning out, you know, every purse or every this or every that in a store, those are always going to be felonies because they're high end. So there's no question in anybody's mind. Not only are you watching a conspiracy, which, you know, is a felony, but you're also watching very significant retail theft, which is always going to be a felony. So when people say, oh, we're going to crack down on that, well, that's obvious. Where California is falling short is how we're dealing with the next level down. And the concern that, you know, those of us who have been prosecutors for a long time have expressed is, if you won't actually give us the laws to allow us to curtail the theft problem, because you're going to set this dollar amount so high that basically, you know, it's really going to impact a lot of the stores consistently, it's going to create a problem for communities. And that's where we're going to see businesses, you know, really fail. I mean, it's sort of that sad situation where some say we really can't afford the security, but without the security, they have higher and higher losses. And it's just, I mean, it goes back to the same issue we always, you know, are talking about, and that is the quality of life crimes, right? If the vandalisms, the ongoing thefts, the people who are harassing people as they come through the front door, you know, in certain stores, all of that has a really significant problem for the community. And what we see is it causes people to say, I don't want to conduct business in this community anymore, much less I don't want to live in this community anymore. So those are the areas that I think we really have to find ways to address, in spite of, you know, what our legislators have done with our penal code.
With the out of area corporate ownership that is for a lot of the recognizable names, my understanding is that there has been a culture that says if they run, do not get in their way.
Right.
Just don't do it. Which obviously enables more and more and more and more to do it. And the rest of us that are stupid enough to pay, we kind of seem to take the brunt financially on that, as well as culturally. Are the corporates starting to change their attitude about either hardening the target or doing something, or perhaps, you know, even like the Walmart greeter thing, you know, just have somebody posted at each of the doors saying hi and eye contact with everybody that comes in and eye contact with everybody that goes out?
So I think it's kind of a, you know, a complex question, Brian, in the sense that what I think is happening, and, you know, we've already seen it in San Francisco, even corporate businesses are saying, you know what, the loss is too great. We just aren't going to have businesses in those communities anymore. So, you know, that's going to create problems, obviously, for the people who live and work in those communities, not to be able to have their corner store that they can run in and get items or, you know, get what you need during the day.
And pay for them and then run
and
out.
Pay for them.
Yeah, yeah.
and then the other part of it is we all bear the costs, right? I mean, it's the same with every other kind of fraud. You know, when we run our ads, you know, about auto insurance fraud, what we all know is for everybody out there committing insurance fraud, we're all picking up the tab. It's not like the businesses, you know, are going to somehow not pass off those costs. And that's when you look at what, you know, you're paying in stores, a chunk of that, you know, is because they've got to cover their losses. They're going to make a profit. And, you know, if enough stuff gets stolen, somebody's going to pay the price. And why, you know, why people are told not to stop is sort of what we talked about before, is obviously stores are concerned. They don't want to have their employees injured or attacked or harmed. And so the concern is don't get in front of that person because you don't know what they might do.
Right. And that, I guess that's what allows this stuff to fester and breed and become as prevalent. Do you...
Right.
Sense, and I would suspect, just innate intuition, is that the locally owned and operated business isn't putting up with that stuff. We're getting in the way. We're intervening with this stuff. If we see something goofy, if we're in an office, we're coming down onto the floor. If we're on the floor, we're going up and interacting with these people.
Right.
Is that how things are playing out?
I would say yes. I think it's just so much more personal, you know, and I know we've all been there and done that. You know, I mean, most of us, or I know some of us were, you know, store clerks and things like that through college and law school. And you do, you take it very personally. And it's also, you're accountable. You know, at the end of the day, the till's got to match up or somebody's going to ask you what happened. And so you sort of, you do become a little more aggressive. But I do think I've seen it, you know, with gas station clerks who are being robbed, who say, nope, you can't do this. You know, my boss counts on this. I can't do, you know what I mean? And they kind of push back a little bit.
Yeah.
So it's both, you know, I think it goes both ways.
I wonder if somebody had like a sign at the front door. I mean, you know, it's not like the welcoming kumbaya, but, you know, if you rob, you will be chased. If you steal, you will be prosecuted. If you take something and you don't pay for it, I will get you.
Yeah, and that goes back to, we have to find, you know, consequences. So one of the things, you know, and I know I've talked before about this, is talking to the sheriff about, as we come out of COVID, making more beds available for exactly that. Because there, if people know the police are going to be called, and I'm not just going to be told, here's your court date, you know, here's a citation for a court date 3 months from now. But instead, I'm actually going to be taken to the jail and booked in. It might, you know, in the past, it has reduced people's willingness to just do this crime over and over and over, because the risk has to be there to make them back up.
Kind of dampen their enthusiasm, so to speak.
Exactly.
Well, and I do understand that there is increasing capacity now because some of those separation restrictions are being reduced, so that there is a little bit more capacity. So maybe
right.
we can get
and
some,
part of it too is as the prisons are reopening, you know, and allowing more transports, we're actually, you know, getting more out of our jail to the prisons, because that was our other hang-up. As we sentenced people to prison, but they couldn't be transported because of COVID, they were taking up our beds. So that's a huge hit to us as well, because, you know, you can have 12 or 13 that should be on the bus going who weren't leaving our jail.
Yeah, and that might be enough to take care of some of the frequent flyers.
Right.
At least, you know, help save somebody the anxiety and the anger associated with an issue. KINS, yeah. News and Information Time, it is 8:44.
Hey, folks, flying local is buying local. And with three airlines serving five destinations, Humboldt County has more choices than ever. Fly on American, Avelo, or United Airlines. We have service to Denver, Hollywood Burbank, LAX, Phoenix, and San Francisco airports. Now's the time to book and save on that getaway. Or have friends and family fly to visit the beautiful Redwood Coast. For more information, go to flyhumboldt.org. Fly Humboldt, more flights to more destinations.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:47. We're back talking shop this morning with Maggie Fleming. Maggie, this time of the year, obviously, we tend to get a little bit of upticks in the burglaries and crimes of opportunity, I think, is kind of the working term. But you're also seeing an increase overall in drug use and this new goofy stuff, this fentanyl. Are you seeing it into the criminal behaviors, or is it right now at the point where this is just resulting in some people checking out and we see more people that are impacted by illegal drug use on the street?
So we're seeing, with fentanyl, we're seeing a very, very high uptick in use, and obviously very sadly with fatalities. And I think that's the real concern. It's a very, very addictive substance. And what we know is that drug dealers are lacing all other substances with fentanyl. So we're finding it in heroin, we're finding it in cocaine, we're finding it in everything. It's interesting because people now are producing pills that look exactly like pharmaceutical pills. I mean, they look exactly like what you would get if you were in a pharmacy. And those are also being laced with fentanyl. And it takes a very, very small amount of fentanyl to kill. It's very, very dramatic. So we're going to, as many other counties have, we're starting to now warn drug dealers, those who furnish drugs, those who are supplying drugs, at the time that they plead to those charges or at time of sentencing, we're warning them that fentanyl is a very, very dangerous and deadly substance, and that selling or furnishing drugs that carry any fentanyl, you know, gives an individual a very, very high risk of death, and that if they provide a substance containing fentanyl to someone and that person dies, they will be charged with manslaughter or murder.
Really? Even if totally unaware, they're going to bear the brunt of that.
Because the idea is this is what we did, with the change in the law with driving under the influence. We started telling people drunk driving is very, very dangerous, and you may kill someone. So if you're caught drunk driving again, and you do, be forewarned, you can be charged with manslaughter or murder. And then that allowed us to start, because it couldn't be the person saying, I had no idea.
You're having to notice them in advance.
Right. So
that sounds refreshing. Has it held up in court?
In other counties, yes. So we believe we can do it as well, and we're going to start doing that. And we really are seeing just such a huge increase, and the quantities are staggering, because it really only takes a few grains of salt, the equivalent of a few grains of salt, the size of fentanyl, to kill someone. And we're seeing staggering amounts of it coming in to Humboldt County. Drug Task Force is making a lot of arrests on that. And then we're seeing it, like I say, on every drug we're watching being dealt. It's there. In fact, someone was saying they believe it's even coming in on marijuana, which, it's just going to be devastating to our community. It's already having such a negative impact.
So if it's fatal, doesn't it take them out? The impact obviously would be very painful for the survivors, but it's not one of those that, like heroin, you just continue to use it, or LSD, you continue to use it. It has a potential of one and done?
It has that potential. It also has the potential, for those who aren't getting too much to have the same impact that they're striving for when they're using heroin or methamphetamine or something else, right? There's the impact of what the drug does to you when it's short of killing you.
Okay. So are we seeing the signs of that, or are we just seeing the signs of the drug coming into the community?
We're seeing both.
So it's out there. Some of us just don't recognize what the impact
right.
is.
And we're already seeing fatalities that are a combination of drugs, and that includes fentanyl.
Well, it'll be interesting to see how it's reported then. Is it a fentanyl-caused death? Or is it fentanyl-related death, or is it there fentanyl in the system? Getting back to reporting methodology on many health-related items. Thanks for coming
That's
by.
Right.
Hey, Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas to you, Brian.
All right. Thanks, Maggie.
You.
Bye-bye.
Talk
See everybody
to you
tomorrow.
Soon.